Blessings of Life. This is October the 7th, 1981, and I'm Reverend Harrison Roy Heskin. We're at Seeker's Quest in San Jose, and this is a class called The Center of Response, Blessings of Light.
Blessings of Light. Gee, we have not all tonight. God bless you all. Is there anybody else around the corner? So everybody can see. Good. It's all good.
Tonight we're talking on the center of response and dealing with the way people come out of their center of response, talking about what the center of response is. Thus far we covered doing the meditation the first night, where we concentrate on each one of the colors as we pick a time, a couple of times a day. First when we get up in the morning, then at high noon, and then when the descending currents in the evening are happening, like we just attuning to descending currents as we've been chanting. Meaning that the vibration slowed down on the planet as the pranic force or life force stops its high vibration. It goes into a downswing. And so these three times, when you first get up in the morning, the energies are rising, or prana or life force is rising at that time. The sun is stimulating the atmosphere, and many of you might have seen pranic force and don't realize what it is. If you've ever been sitting in a room, you see a ray of light coming into the room, and in that ray of light you see like little clear specks. I always thought they were little clear specks of dust, and I went over there trying to catch them when I was a little kid. And they're like little specks of light. They do have all colors of the spectrum in them, but most of the time, to most people, they look clear, like little specks of dust floating in the air. The prana is consumed by plants, by our breathing, by animals, and we eat the animals, we eat the plants, and then we get the prana. If you're vegetarian, you don't eat the animals. You don't take the prana secondhand out to them, but the animals eat the plants, and then we eat the animals, but we should just eat the plants. There's more plants and it's much better for you, because you have to transmute that which you consume, and it becomes part of you. So in the pranic life force, when it's raising this vibration, we suggest you meditate in the morning when you first get up, as the sun's coming up. At high noon, we have the greatest outpouring of light at that moment. The energy is pouring into the atmosphere of the planet. The solar logos for the sun is straight overhead. And then as the sun is setting, as the solar logos is descending, as the earth is turning, actually the sun doesn't go down or doesn't set, it's still shining out there, it just isn't illuminating the atmosphere of this planet any longer. It's going past the planet. And so on this side we're not illumined by the sun, but the sun is always shining. And as we attune to these three periods, we attune to currents in ourselves, the currents to raise our vibrations, the currents to sustain and pack energy, and the currents to relax and let our energies go back to their natural state. And so that's why we suggested that you meditate at that time. We also told you there were two parts to the meditation. One part was an active part, where you have to use your will and imagination to visualize the colors. This helps open your third eye. This helps to get color awareness, your auric sight, and many of the other suttas or spiritual powers come on by the visualization of the bridge. Once you get to the top of the bridge, once you get in the white light or the crystal, there you surrender. That's the passive part. So the first part is active, the last part is passive, so you have balanced energy in the meditation. And so that's the two parts of the meditation. And it's just visualizing red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, gold, and white, and then in the crystal light. If you read the book of Revelations, there's a point where John has a vision. He's standing before the throne of God, and there's a crystal scene. That's what we're talking about, the crystal light, the sea, the Spirit of God before the throne. And so that's the Holy Spirit of God and that energies. And at that point, you are attuning to the crystalline sea, the crystalline light. In the second lesson, we dealt with emotional control and dealing with the conditioned reactions of our subconscious mind, the habit patterns, those kind of things, how to reprogram our subconscious mind, how to use the negatives to turn them into light, as stepping stones to your success, as turning them positive action reversing polarity. And in the third lesson, we talked about the science of the spoken word, how to keep your speaking pure, not to say negatives, not to crystallize negative thoughts, not to make them solid in manifestation, because what you say is your song, your life song, and that song goes on forever, and you have to account for every word you have crystallized, everything you have made solid by statement, by saying it. And so there comes a point when you need to put lots of positive energy in so your song is uplifted, you know, praising God, loving God, and being with God. Tonight we're talking about the lower part of the heart center. And this is where experience has taught us certain things. And the class tonight is called the Center of Response. It is to know how the individual is coming at you. Later, as we talk about the chakras, we'll talk about what level they come from. But now we're going to talk about how they come from those levels of consciousness, how they come out to meet us, what their center of response is. Your center of response is where you have the monopoly of your consciousness. The center of response is where you have the monopoly of consciousness, where you have most of your conscious awareness, most of your attention, most of your being established through. If you are a physically orientated being, when you look at the world from that center of consciousness, everything would have to relate at a physical level to you. If you were an emotional being, you'd be looking at the world through emotional consciousness, and everything would have to come to that level and be reflected there first. This doesn't mean that you don't have other levels of consciousness. It means, how are you meeting the world? Other people meet the world with their mind, intellect. Other people meet the world with their psychic powers or their soul. Other people meet the world with their creativeness, their creative powers. Other people meet the world in a superconscious state, in an individual superconscious state. Then there is those that meet the world in a cosmic conscious state. Those that meet it in a master consciousness. Those that meet it in spiritual consciousness, in Christ consciousness, in God conscious states. And so you're coming from some center of response. And if it's a low center, you should start raising your vibrations to come from a higher level of consciousness. Work with the bridge. It is an ascension power. We're going up. We're going up. We're sending energies up through the spine. We're visualizing them in each one of the energy centers or chakras and raising them up. How do you ever expect to get above something unless you transcend it or ascend? You need this power. So by practicing the bridge, you're practicing ascension, the ability to raise above every situation so it doesn't drag you under, it doesn't get on top of you, it doesn't press you down. And so you might be just an emotional person, and your first response to every situation is emotional. And so you need to raise that vibration, because you'll be battered in life very badly if you come from this centered response. A physical center is the most limited and the farthest from God, and people in this level, from this center of response, suffer from insecurities, they suffer from everything has to be solid to them. If they can't smell it, they can't see it, they can't hear it, they can't taste it, they can't feel it, it doesn't exist. That's where they're at. They're bound by their sense perception, and the senses are full of delusion. And if you take this as your center of response, you're coming from remembering. See, members of the body, like arms and legs, are called the members. Remembering things. And to remember things, the only thing you can remember is what your senses have been on at this point of consciousness. That's all you can put back together. What you were seeing, what you were hearing, what you were feeling, what you were tasting, what you were smelling. And most of the people run around in this type of consciousness, physically orientated. It's the loneliest place. It's the loneliest place. It's the farthest from God. It's the point of where the animal mind, the primal mind, that mind, that brain that's inside of your brain, the smaller brain, is. And it draws from that level of consciousness. So you have things like protecting your territory, you see. And people that are in this level, they're protecting their territory. Oh, don't step on my grass. Don't touch my clothes. That's my food. That's my car. My room. I, me, mine. And so the statements in this level of consciousness is I, me, and mine. And so when they're, if you're listening to what they're saying, and they have a lot of I, me, and mine in their consciousness, they're coming from this response, this level. This is where they're coming from. I, me, mine. I did this, I did that, me, mine. I. This gets you after a while. All this I consciousness. And so they get bound up in the little I, the isolated I. They're protecting their mate, their particular mate. Oh, don't look at my girl, you know, or don't look at my guy. They're doing one of these kind of things. Very protective of their mates. See, the animalistic consciousness. Anything that deals with personal survival, this is where this individual is coming from. In the second level, the individual is coming from the point of emotions. And emotions say, why? Why this? Why that? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? I need this. I need that. I want. I need. Why? Those are the three keywords for people coming from this center of response. And they're in sensation. Their consciousness is sensation. The first level, they can be bound by money. Because these people think, if I just have enough money, I'll get a house, I'll have enough clothes, I'll have enough food, and I'll be able to be secure. And I'll be happy. So they get all these things and they find out they still aren't happy. You see, so then they go up to the next level and they say, well, if I can only feel good and be happy with all the people and then be joyful around me and all these kind of things, then I'll be happy. But they get to that level and they're not happy yet. They're not happy yet. This emotional level is impulsive level of consciousness. And here's where impression comes. These people are highly impressionable. And so they re-impress themselves. Here you're remembering, here's re-impression. And so if they're being re-impressed or very impressionable in their energies, emotional response, still a very low level of consciousness, still caught in personality, not in ascension, not even into soul power yet, caught in the lower levels. Why, want, need, why, want, and need in this level of consciousness. And so if you just listen to them, that's where they're coming from. The next one is what, and I think this, I think that. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I think. What? They can have all those watts. They can have 50 watts, no illumination. It's just a fun. Anyway, they're always asking questions in this level. This is the intellectual level of consciousness. And here the individual, in the second level, they'll be caught in sexual energies because of the sensation. So the first one is money you have to overcome. The second one is sexual energies because you can be bound in sensations. You see. The third level is a power level because it deals with your will, too. I will this, I think that, what. I will, I think, what? Those are the three key words for that level of consciousness. People are talking about that. And they're always trying to get everybody, if they'd only think the way I think, then everybody would be okay. But boy, they're so confused, you really wouldn't want everybody thinking like that. Or in that limited state of consciousness. Well, if they'd only do what I want them to do. See, this is the will trying to manipulate the body and the emotions. If they will do what I want them to. They're talking up and down their chakras. And so you can listen to the language, you can listen to that center of response, and these people are always coming with the questions, always coming. They're never filled. I mean, they'll ask you questions forever, you see. And they were supposed to get over that from between ages 14 and 21. They were supposed to get over asking all those questions, you see. From 1 to 7, they're supposed to get over this I, me, and my stuff.
My toys, mine.
And then the second,
why? Why
don't
I do this? Why don't I do that?
The third level is,
What?
What about this? What about that? Well, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? So they get into these levels of consciousness. They have to transcend those levels. These are all adolescent stages. They're not maturity. And they're still all personality. But the majority of humanity is in these first three levels. The majority of humanity is in these three levels. Guess how many? 90% use one, two, or three of these levels. 90% of humanity is in these first three levels of consciousness. To come from the soul level, I understand, I know, I understand, I know, I can feel that. I feel, I understand, I know. True feeling is the soul's power to move and experience the physical body. Feeling is the soul's power to experience the emotions. Feeling is the soul's power to experience the thought. And so this level deals with experiences of consciousness and how things work from what you know. What you know. Here, the key is, if you were operating from intuitional levels, you would just do what you know. You would say what you know. You wouldn't have to think it over, connive it up for something that is, you know, this is very cunning and very conniving down here in the old intellect, or they're going to manipulate some way. Oh, let's see, let me figure out how I can do this, you see. And they get pretty heavy in this level, see. But here, it's I understand. Understand. I know. I feel. And it's real. And so here the soul is getting consciousness, getting awareness, experience. Your intuition is the instant manifestation of your knowledge. Your intuition comes from your knowledge. And so when you're attuning to your heart, your psychic abilities, soul's abilities, intuitional awareness comes quicker. Like before you go to the phone and the phone is ringing, say, who is on the other end? And then knowing will come and say, so-and-so's calling you, okay. Oh, well, I knew that was you. I knew it. And while I was trying to figure out who was calling, I wasn't quite sure. See, that wasn't knowing. That wasn't intuition. This is, I knew that was you. Okay. Here's a letter before you open it. What's in this letter? Knowledge will tell you what is in the letter, you see. Knowing. This is a magnetic force that comes out of the heart center. Magnetic ode, they call it. Magnetic force, soul power, psychic power. And some psychics get pretty heavy. Boy, I mean, they can come up to you and they put out the psychic arms and grab a hold of your chest. And you're standing there and you're trying to get away. And every time you move back, they move. Every time you move forward, they move. And they got a hold of you here. And you try to move, boy, they're talking right at you. And they get a hold of you. It's a psychic hold. And you feel it. You may feel a heaviness come on your chest when your soul is suppressed. And it's energy. You feel pressure on your chest. Oh, it's heavy. You're feeling. You're not emoting. Emotions is a movement of thought. Feeling comes from the sensitivity of the soul. And so in here you have sensitivity. You have the ability to merge at this level of consciousness. And so people that merge come from the heart. People that do psychic things come from their heart. But they know they're working with that. But it's only halfway up the spine, so don't get stuck there. If you're in psychic fields, keep on going. Keep on going. Because it's only halfway up the chakras. The Kundalini or the awakening consciousness has only gone halfway home. You see, now the soul must be lifted. Now the soul must be lifted. Here's the soulful realm of consciousness. So I understand, I know, I feel. This is really key, it's there. The next level of consciousness that deals at the throat center here deals with the creativeness of the individual. I create, I get the idea, I hear. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I'm listening. I hear, I'm listening. I create, get the idea, because here we're dealing with ideas, here we're dealing with higher abstract mind. We're dealing with a level of consciousness that is not bound by time, space, and circumstance. The first free level. This is the first free level. This is the first power level you have. where your talents, your creativeness can flow. But you have an enemy to this level. Ill-gotten emotional force. Poor me consciousness. I'm sad, I'm not glad. There's no peace for the emotions that are in exaggeration or turmoil or not calm. There's no peace. This is the realm that deals with peace. It's a peaceful realm. It deals with truth and reality. It deals with your ability of repetition, harmony. When someone is telling you an untruth, it's an inharmony. It's not inharmony. It's an inharmony. It's not harmonious. It's out of rhythm. It's not in vibration with the rest of what they're saying. In the aura, it appears as a yellowish-green color, with kind of a mustard tone, which means that their intellect is contradicting what they know. Their intellect is contradicting what they know. They're telling you a lie, a falsehood. It isn't the truth. And it's out of harmony. And so you can see that when it goes off in their aura. You must have a lot of compassion. First thing I have to say, ah, oh, you're touching a lie! You know, I used to do that. I say, ah, oh, I can see you're lying.
You calling me a liar?
They go through all kinds of things. I say, yeah. So I'm done. You're saying you're not telling the truth? And I'll tell them what they said. And I'll tell them the truth. And they'll see the truth. I go, oh. Well, you know, I was just exaggerating a little bit. Well, I just added this little thing, you know, kind of give a little more emphasis. You know, add a little bit. That takes the truth away. Truth is truth. It's nothing else. This realm, everything is what it is. Love is love. It's not holding hands or hugging. Love is love. You see? Truth is truth. Wisdom is wisdom. They are exactly what they are. The earth is the earth. Your body is a body. Your emotions are emoting. Your mind is a mind. You are you. You're not your mind. You're not your emotions. You're not your body. You are you. Everything is in reality here. It is what it is. And here's where we string together the random images to get the idea. Where we take the images and we put them together and get idea. And here's where we create from. I can say to you a creative thing. I say, okay, I want you all next week when you come here, during the week I want you to make a chair. Well, the abstract idea would be chair, which has a seat, legs, and a back. But you might bring a chair made out of plastic in metal. You might bring an all-metal chair that you made. You might bring a wooden chair you made. You may bring one that you put fine cloth on it and inlaid woods. You see, you might have one that has fine jewels and diamonds and, you know, encrusted that way. Everyone would have their individual expression of the chair. But the idea of the chair is always the same. The idea of the song is always the same. Idea of music is always the same. This is where you have conceptual awareness. Here's where the concept comes from, through this contemplative repetition. And so when people have emotional problems, they go to a group that teaches them how to chant, things like this, and boy, they get healed. See, they go out and they chant so that they can overcome the inharmony of the emotions to come into harmony. To get the inharmonious energies out by coming in harmony. Unless they're chanting,
I'm in a body, you know. I'm in a body,
you know. You know, then they're out of harmony. I mean, what can you do? You just say how it's open. No harmony. They need to get the harmony. And after a while, the group, they get the harmony. They get the flow. It's best to learn in a group. Because you have the whole group mind to help you. That moment, the synergic field that's there in the room. While you're here, your soul is picking up every vibration. You know what everybody else is thinking, feeling, and doing in this room, even though your attention may be on me. And And if you went home and concentrated on your soul would tell you everything everybody did in the room, what clothing they were wearing, what they were thinking, feeling, acting, and doing. Because the soul picks up all of that, you see. But if you're just counting on the senses, all you're going to remember is what you paid attention to. And then every time you thought, you split your attention, you went away from me. And then there's gaps in your remembering because you were off in your mind instead of there in your senses. You weren't even totally in the extrasensory perception by having full attention there. See, extrasensory perception is got by putting extra energies there. The key is energy. Where is your energy stuck? What center are you coming from? What center of response? How are you coming out of that? The next level deals with the superconscious state. I see. I imagine, envision this. How many people you hear talking like that? I see. I imagine. Envision this. Vision. Imagination. Insight. Perception. Perception. Individual consciousness. Individuality. Here's where your individuality comes to the superconscious state. Here's where the individual is merging with supreme consciousness. Here's where you have unity of your individuality. Here is where you are the divine director of the rest of your fields, the five lower kingdoms, falling under the authority of the divine director in you. Here's where you are detached. You are not caught in these fields. You are now detached. What is your center of response? Are you in this detachment? Are you able to have it all together? Or are you feeling one way and thinking something else and doing something else and knowing something else and having another idea about it? Boy, that's scattered all five directions. You may feel something, you may be doing something, but you may not be thinking about that something. You're out of unity. Every time you split the movement, you come out of unity. You come out of superconscious state. Divide and conquer. That's the power of the negative forces. Divide you and conquer. Let's get your attention over here while we're doing something over here. You see? Let's throw a battle over here and we'll attack them over here. Divide and conquer. So you have to realize every moment of your existence, you are choosing between darkness and light. By what you say, by what you do, by what you feel, by what you know, by what you're creating, by what you see. By what you see. Do you have another chair in here? And so every moment of your life, you're choosing between darkness and light unless you are on the path. Unless you're in the middle way. Unless you're on the straight and narrow, unless you're in the neutral universe, you're caught in this duality. Unless you're clear, you're caught in the duality. And in order to get above the heart, you must break the paradox. Now something happens as you're leaving these realms. When you're in your heart, you're objective to your body, to your emotions, and to your mind. You're watching them as a witness. You're objective to them. You're objective. Not subjected to every thought, not subjected to every feeling that comes through your emotions, and not subjected to every action through your body. You are objective. You are witnessing. That point of consciousness is passive. There comes a point when you stop looking at these, the personality, and you look upwards to your creativeness, to your individuality, to your super consciousness, to your spirituality. Now here's what happens to some people in this level. They get halfway turned. They're not looking down at the personality. They're not looking up to God. They don't know if anybody's with them or not, or cares about them, or is thinking about them, or wants to help them in any way. Oh, poor me. And they don't know whether God's there. They don't know whether there's anything up there or not. They're in the dark night of the soul. In the dark night of the soul, they call that. When you're insecure about the world, insecure about beyond, you're caught in the middle of the two, you've only turned halfway there. It means something is holding you back in the personality or some fear of unknown maybe holding you back from turning all the way and looking into your creativeness. See? Because you're going to move in the direction you are paying attention. Attention gives you direction. Attention gives you direction. It's directional awareness. Where you pay attention, that's where your energies go. In that direction. You see? And I can pay attention here, so my energies are going through the whole room. You see, I'm watching everyone. I go this way. But then I can focus on an individual. I still don't lose sight of everyone else. You see? But now you get concentrating here and everybody else will fade away. You see? It's a matter of concentration of attention, expanding and contracting attention. So, these chakras, these energy vortexes, have this movement. They have an up and a down movement. Up and down movement. They can go downward to their lowest state, or they can go upward to their highest state. They have a right and left movement. Right and left movement. They can go all the way to their active side or all the way to their passive side. All of these centers. These also have an out movement. Out and in. So here's the three-dimensional aspect of it. They also have expand and contract. Expand and contract. They can expand out to see the whole, or they can contract to see the small. You see? So in these energy centers, if you're a physical being, you might be high in your energies, or you may be low in your energies. You may be very aggressive in your energies, or very passive in your energies. Very in your energies or very out in your energies. You may be very narrow or you may be very broad in your consciousness. You have these movements in each level of consciousness. So how is the individual coming out at you? Have you ever noticed these people? They come out like this. They start, they're in. Then they come out a little bit, and they talk to you, and then they come out a little bit more, and then you get to know them a little more, and they come out a little bit more, and then they come out a little more, and then they come out a little more. That's their configuration. They start, and then when they go in, they withdraw a little bit, and then they withdraw a little bit, and then they withdraw, and draw, 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 draw. They come out a little bit, come out a little bit, come out a little bit, come out a little bit. Take this a little bit of time. So, people can come out physically that way, emotionally that way, mentally that way, psychically, creatively, individually, universally. When we get to this cosmic conscious level, here we have universal consciousness, we no longer have individual consciousness. It's like a drop in the ocean. If you had a vessel filled with water and you put it in the ocean and then took the vessel away and the water was still there, that's what it's like. That's the universal consciousness. And you can expand or contract in that. It's like the drop in the ocean. It's like the wave on the ocean. The wave is still the ocean. You're a wave on the ocean of humanity, but you're still humanity. You see, you're just a wave on the ocean of humanity, but you're still a human spirit. You belong to the spirit of humanity. And so that's like the drop in the ocean. In spirit, you're God individualized, but you're no less than God. God is everything, you're everything when you're expanded to that. But now you're at this limitation. You're here in the third dimension. Some of you, are in the third dimension. There are other people that can't get off the ground. They're still in two-dimensional consciousnesses. And there's one-dimensional, you can just go back and forth. That's all they can do. Just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Those people get into ruts like eat, sleep, work, 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 back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Where are you coming from? How are you coming from? How about those people boy, you're talking to them, and they start coming out, and they start expanding. These people come whirling out at you when you're talking to them. They come whirling out, physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever level. That's a whirling out in energy. You see, this is abstract. This isn't intellectual that we're talking. We're talking about abstraction. We're talking about a universal principle that applies to all the dimensions. We're talking about something that's the same no matter what plane it's used on. It's only the substance of that plane that's in action in that manner. These people coming out this way also can pull you in that way. Boy, they get you dizzy. They get you going around, around, around. Next thing you know, you're standing there all by yourself going, wait a minute. See? They'll be talking to you. Next thing you know, you're doing something with a whole bunch of people. You're saying, well, how did I get out into this? See, they'll spin you right out into it, you see. So, you see, each of these have traps. These things have traps. How about the people that are in their center? And when they go come out, they start coming out, and then they change their mind, and then they come out some other way. You see, and you're going, yeah, 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 and then all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, where are they going? Because they have retracted and changed direction on you. See? They were coming out, they changed direction, and they come out of a little different angle. You go, wait a minute. See, I was on the first angle, you see. And they changed their mind. How come they're over there, and I'm still over here? Because you kept going straight out, and they went back and come out another way. How about those that are taking you into a place, then he changed direction, and then they do the same thing. Is this little streak of lightning, is it going into the circle? Is it coming out of the circle? Or is it just being? Is it going into the circle? The streak of lightning? Is it going in? Or is it coming out? Or is it being? It's your point of view of it. Once Confucius Lord Lan Tao and Buddha was in heaven. And they were talking about the earth. And at that moment, a fairy appeared and had a cup of earth nectar. And so he gave the earth nectar to Confucius. And he says, oh, it's not too bad. He gave it to Buddha and he spit it out and he says, renounce it. It's terrible. He gave it to Lan Tao and says, well, we can work with it. And Confucius says, well, isn't it really the taster? Not the world itself, but the taster. It's your point of view. It's your center of response. Where are you coming from? What are you seeing there? See, how are you looking at it? Because when you start seeing how you're looking at it, then you know where everybody else is. When you know where you're at, then you know where everybody else is. When you in your meditations and that began to understand how your emotional patterns go, then when somebody else comes around and starts laying their emotions on you, you know the difference because you have been aware of your own emotions. You know the patterns of your thoughts, so when somebody's trying to superimpose their thoughts on you, you know the difference in the pattern because you have analyzed your mind. But unless you abstract yourself from it, if you think you're the mind, you can't analyze it because you're stuck in it. Only when you abstract or step out of it can you look at it. You see? And if you can abstract yourself from it, then it isn't you, is it? And you abstract yourself from it every night. From the body, from the emotions, from the mind. You abstract yourself from those every night. Are you body conscious? Or are you out of body? Are you emotional consciousness? Or are you out of emotion? Are you mentally consciousness? Or are you out of your mind? I tell people to get the spirit, they got to go out of their mind. They have to get off of that. It's a limitation. Your associations with the one mind will bind you unless you give them up to the all mind, to the one mind. See, do you think everything you've got is everything? Boy, what a limitation. Wouldn't you rather give that up for everything? See, give up the world and you get everything. See, give up the world, you get it. Give away love, you get love. Give away truth, you get truth. See, give it away and you get it. What if you sat back and say, okay, God, do it to me. Come on, I'm waiting. Well, you going to do it or what? See, here's where God's experience.
in free will expression, unless it's bound to these patterns, unless it's bound to these systems, unless it's bound to this knowledge, unless it's bound to these creations, unless it's bound to this individuality, it is not freed spirit. See, are you ready for being a free spirit? Wow. Universal, a drop in the ocean? Or do you want to be the ocean? Be it. One time I walked up to my grandmother, I was 8 years old, and she was rocking back and forth. She used to stop, rock back and forth, she'd stop. So I go and I said,
Grandma, how come you sleep so much?
I said, kid. Well, I mean, anyway, she says, I'm not sleeping. I says, well, what are you doing? She says, I'm practicing being everywhere. Have you ever practiced being everywhere? Have you practiced filling up your room with yourself? Fill up your house with yourself? Have you practiced that? Or have you not got off of the limitations of your skin, an organ in your body, or your body? Your skin is an organ. Have you got off that organ? Past it? Have you expanded out from it? Are you in that expansion? How are you coming out of your center? Are you coming out of that center of response? How about the individual that's in the center, and they come out here, and they come out here, and they come out here, and out here, and out here, and out here. You know when they're doing this? Right in their aura, the thought form is in the shape. The thought form takes on an etheric shape and can be seen. Remember when we put your, initiated you by pushing on your eyes and getting you to see the inner light? When we took your hands off, there was that kind of a haze in the room. Pardon? A haze in the room? Akashic light? The thought forms come up on that. I had to stop. I thought everybody had to pay attention to me. So if somebody wasn't paying attention, I said, hey, you want to come back? Hey, you want to come back in the room? You want to come here and pay attention? I go up and pretty soon I get defense. What do you mean? This is why you were drifting off. Oh. How are you coming out of your center response? Is those people will come out and they'll take you in, and come out, they'll take you in, and come out, they'll take you in. And when they get done with you, you're going, oh, I'll see you later. You might even make a mistake and kind of trip around like that, because the energy, you'll start reacting out of the energy. An individual, somebody's turning you around, and you say, okay, I've got to go now, let me see, do I got everything? Okay, I'll